anger as government members vote in favor of Bill 5.
One of the worst proposed legislations in a generation for environmental protections.
There's hundreds of thousands of people stuck in their cars, and you're worried about a grasshopper jumping across the highway.
They're just goddamn trees.
We know the premier likes roads. Anytime there's a road, he wants more of it.
They're going to see a road that they never had.
When you look here on this hill, there's a lot of open areas. They tend to nest along the edges here at the bottom of the hill, but also in the open. So that way their nest gets heat from the sun to keep the nest warm.
Carolyn Crawley is scouting the ground looking for hatchlings, aka baby turtles.
They also prefer slopes that face either south or west. And that's just for the sun, for the warmth.
It's common to find them this time of year in High Park.
We just got a call this morning in one of the parks that there was a hatchling that was coming out of a nest.
It is nesting season for the common snapping turtle and the Midland painted turtle who live here. Both are listed under the Ontario Endangered Species Act. We're standing on the same hill where the cherry blossoms bloom every year, facing the sun and the pond down below.
As we're looking outward, straight ahead, that's Grenadier Pond.
Carolyn claims the hill as Hatchling Hill, but they're hard to find as we walk, the hatchlings. Today, she doesn't find any while we're together. Hatchlings are small. The babies aren't much bigger than the size of a loonie. Carolyn is constantly looking at the ground while she moves. She is cautious of where she is stepping.
It takes about 60 years of egg laying to replace one adult turtle that has lost their life. I can't even imagine what those statistics would be with the passing of this bill.
Most people visiting the park don't know about the turtles. There's little signage around the site, besides the signs the organization has put up to warn visitors. In fact, most people don't know that the turtles of Toronto's wetlands exist at all. On that same day, a bill that pits global geopolitics and Ontario's economic future against the province's species was on the table. The turtles of Grenadier Pond were on the table. The debate was scathing.
No consent, no consultations, no laws. This is the playbook that this government is selling.
I was crystal clear about getting rid of the red tape, getting rid of the regulations.
After almost 2 months of negotiations, amendments, and protests, the bill passed third reading on June 4th, with 71 votes for it and 44 against.
The ayes being 71, the nays being 44, I declare the motion carried.
Bill 5, the Protecting Ontario by Unleashing Our Economies Act, allows the province to move along major infrastructure and resource extraction projects faster. The Ford government said this acceleration will help reduce delays and eliminate duplication in the approval process.
We're being held back by our own processes. We have the critical minerals the world needs and wants.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford says this is a step towards strengthening our economy, ensuring the development of these minerals, and edging our competitiveness as a sovereign country. But economic development is coming at the cost of endangered species across the province, and the turtles in Grenadier Pond are just one example.
With the threat of Bill 5, it reduces the protections of endangered species.
As a listed endangered species, both the snapping turtle and the Midland painted turtle's habitat is already fractured and fragile. 85% of wetlands have been destroyed and impacted in the city of Toronto, according to the Toronto Region and Conservation Authority. Turtles depend on these wetlands, but also the surrounding habitat for feeding, mating, and other life processes. That radius is small in the city, And because most people aren't aware of the turtle's presence, most end up getting crushed.
Turtles leave wetlands to come nest on land. Because of development, there have been roads that have been put in place between wetlands, or some wetlands have been completely buried. Turtles often, when they're crossing the roads, they're very slow moving, and that's one of the big threats to them.
Where is it common that you'd see turtles crossing the road? Are there wetlands that are closer to roads?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we have found a number of turtles dead on the Queensway. Here in High Park, a number of turtles hit on the road on Ellis Avenue. In Smythe Park, as you drive into that park, anywhere there's wetlands and there are roads, there's a risk to those beings. Even down by Etienne Brulé, we found one really old mama snapping turtle that was hit, and unfortunately, she didn't survive.
Under Bill 5, the Ontario's Endangered Species Act is replaced with a new law called the Species Conservation Act. The new act changes the definition of a habitat. Protections would only apply to the immediate area around an animal's den or nest. This doesn't cover traveling distances turtles take, with movements of 6 kilometers documented in some Ontario populations, or for landscapes surrounding the wetlands, where turtles scavenge and nest, like on Hatching Hill.
The Blandings turtle, who lives here in the city, they spend a lot of time on land. It's not considering their habitat as far as where they live, how they move from wetland to wetland, how they live on the land, how they forage on the land.
But to consider this, to take the time to assess this, holds up building and mining processes. And Ontario's Minister of Energy and Mines says time is of the essence right now. They're running the clock against the United States' continuous threats to the nation.
As you know, Ontario is facing unprecedented geopolitical challenges that are creating economic uncertainty at the hands of our biggest ally and trading partner. These unprovoked actions have put our workers and our businesses and our industries at risk, highlighting the urgent need for bold, decisive action. Energy and critical minerals are pivotal to the future of our province and our nation's prosperity.
Minister Stephen Lecce told the province 2 months ago when the bill was first introduced that approval processes are just taking too long.
Safeguarding Ontario's economic future is our top priority. To unlock that potential, we have to make this process easier because it cannot take up to 17 years to open a mine in the province.
Lecce says the new approach would help speed up project timelines and provide greater certainty for developers. They'll be able to begin an activity immediately after registering instead of waiting for the ministry's approval. Our station asked the Ontario Mining Association how they stood to benefit from the bill. The association's president, Priya Tandon, shared her thoughts in a statement. She told us she's supportive of the One Project, One Process initiative inside Bill 5. That's a framework where approvals are consolidated under one single process, rather than multiple permits for multiple industries on the same project. She told us she looks forward to working with the government to meet those timeline goals, but also is taking into account mining impacts on biodiversity and Indigenous communities through, quote, sustainable mining practices. We tried to reach out to 4 separate mining companies to hear their thoughts about the new legislation, but not a single one agreed to go on tape.
It's very draconian. It's the bill that that Donald Trump only dreams he could get through the U.S. Congress. It's the most fundamentally anti-democratic bill I've ever seen go through the Ontario legislature. It's catastrophic in nature.
Tim Gray is the executive director of Environmental Defense. Our station spoke with him less than an hour after the bill's passing. He spent the last 25 years developing and implementing environmental policy change efforts.
No one who advocates for proper review is interested in that process taking a long time.
Gray says environmental impact assessments are in place for good reason, but did agree that improvements could be made around some of the bureaucracy of decision making.
You know, no one is going to object to that. It's the wholesale elimination of review processes and thinking that somehow there won't be a consequence of that and that this is a path forward that is sustainable and proper for Canadian society that is so fundamentally flawed.
He says collecting data on wildlife takes time to correctly assess and address the potential harm. Hatchling season happens only twice during the year in High Park. This is when the newborn turtles come out of their nest and make their way back to the water.
The whole point of it is to make good decisions. But sometimes it takes a while to collect data. For example, if you are examining the impacts of a new project on wildlife, for example, you can't do that. If you want to examine the impact on, say, the breeding season of a particular fish, you can only look at that fish during its breeding season. You don't know what it's doing, where it is, how many individuals are there. If you look in September, if it breeds in April. So you're going to have to take the time necessary to recognize the ecology of the system in order to collect data sufficient to make good recommendations and therefore decisions.
It's just not accurate to say that it's duplication. There's going to be major, major gaps in species protections.
Laura Bowman is a lawyer with EcoJustice Canada in Toronto. She represents environmental groups, First Nations, and community groups at all levels of court. Bowman works on judicial reviews. Her work centers around holding the government accountable for applying environmental laws or encouraging them to pass better ones. Wetlands protections in Ontario have already been compromised due to recent policy changes and legislation. The Ontario government rolled back protections for wetlands last year to prioritize housing and to add the removal of lands from the greenbelt. Part of the criticism is the new legislation doesn't prioritize restoring these wetlands.
They amended the wetland evaluation system that identified provincially significant wetlands, which were subject to pretty strong protections under provincial planning laws. The planning laws have been eroded. The wetlands evaluation system has been eroded. It's now possible for any private consultant to undermine a wetland designation and eliminate those protections simply by filing a report, whether the report is any good or scientifically robust or not.
Under the old act, an independent advisory body made up of scientists make recommendations to the government on listed species who are endangered when a project is moving forward. Now, under the new act, it is discretionary whether the minister lists the species and chooses to advise.
For endangered species that are in wetlands, we're not going to see the kinds of preventative measures that were being put in place under the Endangered Species Act, because that act would require things like tunnels under a road that turtles could use. It would require things like moving things away from places that we knew that turtles were moving. You know, Ontario's turtle species were all regulated under that act, and now it'll be as simple as just telling the government you plan to kill turtles, and you'll be authorized to do that.
The other thing about Bill 5, which is very critical impact, is the impact upon Indigenous rights. The governments have a responsibility to consult. They have that duty to consult with Indigenous communities in regards to anything that's happening upon the land. And this bill is going to accelerate development and almost ignore that.
Special economic zones is another proposal under this bill that went through. Within designated zones, companies and projects can be exempted from having to comply with a provincial law, provincial regulation, or a municipal bylaw. And this isn't limited to just environmental laws. This could be any law.
There are no limits in the bill, and there's no limit to what laws, provincial laws, they can be exempt from or why. It's not limited to mining as a purpose. It's not limited to mines as in terms of its application. And it could be used to exempt projects from human rights law. It could be used to exempt projects from property laws, labor relations legislation for collective bargaining, employment standards. That could mean really anything at all.
I think it's really important for people to understand that as Indigenous peoples, we have a responsibility to be in this reciprocal relationship with the land, because the land is constantly giving to us.
Carolyn Crawley co-founded Turtle Protectors in 2022, an Indigenous and volunteer-led organization keeping at-risk turtles safe in the city's wetlands.
No, I don't believe that's the end of it, because it's just like the Greenbelt. That bill had passed and people spoke up and stood up against it, and the Ford government had to reverse that bill.
It's not clear how many turtles are still alive, but preserving damaged habitats and assisting with fertility practices is the only way the population can be maintained.
In teachings that I carry that have been shared with me growing up, as well as elders in my life currently and at ceremony, is that all life is sacred and all life has purpose. And in all the creation stories, whether you're religious, spiritual, or believe in evolution, Mother Earth was here before the arrival of humans. So we know all these beings can thrive without us. But there is not one human being that can survive without this relationship. Through indigenous ways of being a relationship, we're all sitting in that circle together. And it's humans that are more dependent upon all the other relatives and relationships. So we really need to be thinking about, what are those impacts going to be? And we say that turtle is the founder, right? Because turtle found us and we are guided by turtles.
This episode was produced by the Local Journalism Initiative. The clip you heard about trees and pagan voodoo is from the original 2009 Avatar. I'm Mia Johnson, local journalist at Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM in downtown Toronto.